Okay, go ahead, Trevor.
Okay, Proverbs 21:27. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent?
Okay, so a sacrifice is dealing with the whole subject of worship. That's a good thing, to worship God. But when you're in worship and you've just committed a murder, or like in the case of that one movie, the mafia guy, what's the name?
The Godfather.
Yeah, The Godfather. All of his men are in the process of murdering others while he's going through this worship thing. Then God says, I don't receive the sacrifice of a wicked. I hate it. It's an abomination to me. And it's even worse when you're sacrificing with bad motives. Let me give you an example of a bad motive for worship. My uncle went to church not because he was a Christian, but because he wanted to get a good wife. And he sang in the choir, and he did everything. He made profession of Christianity. He was such a good fake. And my aunt was new from Germany, didn't speak the language very well. And anyway, he seemed like a good guy, and he was very kind to her and everything, and they got married. He immediately quit going to church, and she asked him why. He said, well, I'm not a Christian. I just went to church to get a good wife. And he was a drunk, he was mean, he was a really bad guy. So there's a situation where a guy's doing the right thing, right situation, with a totally ungodly motive. And the reason I'm presenting these cases, it's very slim here what we're doing, is it's very, very important when you're working with your children to not be satisfied with your children obeying the rules. I have seen so many parents let the kid get away with doing the right thing with a snarky expression or snarky words. That child needs to be disciplined. If you don't discipline that child, he's going to grow up to be really a person with horrible character because the heart has never been reached. So it's really, really important that we do this. Okay, and one of the things, again, that you're going to notice is the more we go through the 18 principles, that all of these are logically and tightly done at the same time. You can't treat Christ from 10 to 11, in the, 9 to 10 in the morning, and from 10 to 11 you treat community, and 11 to 12 you treat character. They all happen interrelated, and you don't even know when God's sovereignly going to bring something in. You just need to recognize what the character lessons are or what the community lessons, and you just seize them as God brings those up. Those are the ideal times to jump onto those. And so when, like I said earlier, when the child is being lazy in their homework, and they've just barely done enough to get by, you say, that is not acceptable. And you send them right back, and they start complaining, and their laziness comes out. You say, you know what? You've got a character issue here that is terribly displeasing to God, and you will never be a leader who will succeed if you do not develop a work ethic and go the extra mile. We want you practicing going the extra mile in your mathematics, in your English comp, and everything else that you're doing. Why? Because I want you to be a leader. I want you to be the best person that you can. I'm not being mean to you. And so let's work on this laziness. And then you give them homework that deals with laziness. And by the way, if you need homework issues, I could direct you to books on all kinds of different subjects. But I've also got little exercise sheets that you can take your children through on laziness or on poor communication or whatever the thing might be. But you're always driving them back to Christ through every lesson that they're going through. We want their hearts to be so in touch with God that they're really worshiping throughout the day in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, they're going to be just little Pharisees. And we don't want to lower the rules so that they can succeed. We bring the Word of God to bear so strongly in their lives that they despair of being able to do it. And they are driven to Christ and say, Lord, you have to help me to do this because I can't love my sister the way I want to love my sister. I just can't do it. When they're brought to the point of saying I can't, Then, through Christ, they can be brought to the point of saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that's what the Sermon on the Mount was to drive people out of their own abilities and into supernatural abilities. And I guarantee you, in most homeschool circles, the kids are only doing what any pagan could do. They're not doing what shows that they are sons of God. They're not doing what requires the supernatural. It's so important that we drive them there. And so here's what we do. And later on, I'll be giving a little bit more concrete lessons, Lord willing. If this is... And you know what? I've not been wearing this here. Oh. If this is the line of where your children's abilities are at right now, and you're consistently giving them stuff way below, they're going to be bored to tears by it. They're never going to grow if you just give them assignments that are right at the level that they're presently at. If you give them too high, over and over, they're going to fail to the point where they're going to have such bad insecurity, they're never going to try in life. But if you take them just beyond what their present abilities are, they're going to say initially, I can't do it, I can't do it. You're going to keep pushing them into the realm of faith to say, no, every time you've said that before, you've been wrong. I want to hear from your mouth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we're going to process you through this. So they're stretched beyond their comfort level, and they go then, and they grow then in Christ, in a way that's going to be significant. So every single week, you're developing exercises, learning exercises for your kids that stretch them beyond their ability. That's the key thing that I want you guys to hear. Not so far that they're discouraged, but enough where they really are growing in Christ. Okay. For this kind of training to be successful, the father has to be humble. He has to be open about his own sins and his own failures, and he has to build a safe environment in which the children can grow. I have seen parents, when kids have tried to open up about some failure, about some issue, the parents get so on their case about it that you can just see this kid's going to climb up. He's not going to open up again because it's dangerous to open up around the father. The father is not for them. And there's not a safe environment in which they can grow. So I want you to turn to pages 50. Well, you don't even need to turn there, but 50 through 51.
We don't have pages that high.
What's that?
We don't have pages that high.
There you go.
Page
51.
Yeah, 51. This is 37. Okay. Throw that one away, and Gary will get you.
Every single time you've cited something above 37, I'm like, man, I just have this.
There's an extra one.
Are there extras in the back?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead?
But all my notes are in here.
Just here's one.
A few of the past.
You can just pull out but on pages 50 to 51, there's a whole bunch. I don't know, what is it, 21 or something like that? Characteristics that you as fathers need to make sure you are developing in your homes so that your kids will open up to you and say, Dad, I'm struggling so much with sexual sin. Maybe it's masturbation or whatever. And please, I hate it. And I know God does not like me to do this. Would you please help me with this? That's a wonderful position to be in. And you can say, son, that's an issue that, you know, I've struggled with in the past as well. And I want to help you through this. And maybe you might even say it's not even something I've completely gotten the victory on, but I am really gaining the victory in this area. Or, Dad, I just really feel in my devotions this morning that God has convicted me. I'm too selfish. Now, if you jump on them, yeah, you are so selfish, blah, 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 that kid's never going to open up to you again, right? So you want a safe environment in which they will open up, where you can concretely help them with the sensitive things that they're struggling with. Now, what I'm going to do for you here is... I'm going to have you guys try to pair up in groups of two or three, and maybe even just two, and tell each other one story, and it can be in any of these areas, where you've learned self-control, where you've learned humility, or where you've learned trustworthiness. or maybe even something that you're presently still struggling through. I've picked three safe areas. Okay? These are fairly safe. It's easy to do. But it's just to begin to practice doing this. And ideally, if you would do it with your kids, if your children are with you, but if you've not brought a child with you, you can pair up into groups of two or three. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that's not safe from my own life, just to model for you, you know, how you can do this. And many of you have heard this already. That's okay. This could be a reinforcement for you. Some of you have not heard this. When I was in high school, I worked for 1 year in a drugstore up in Canada, and I was delivering drugs. I would bicycle down to people's houses and collect their check and go back to the place, and I swept the pharmacy and did all kinds of things. But this pharmacy had pornography. It was Playboy magazine back in those days, and mild compared to the stuff that people are exposed to nowadays. But it really was a struggle for me, because during breaks I would read the pornography, and at that point I wasn't even regenerate. I don't believe I was regenerate till 12th grade. But those images in my mind were a horrible stumbling block for years to come. But it got worse when I went to Bible school. I thought I had gained a fair degree of victory in this whole area, because I hadn't looked at pornography for years. But when I was in Bible school, I had these images all day long coming into my mind, and I'm trying to get rid of them, get them out of my mind, and praying to God to please help me not have these bad images in my mind. And I remember in class one time, being kind of embarrassed because the teacher's lecturing, I'm taking notes, and all of a sudden the image came into my mind and I jerked my head like this because I was so intent on getting away from these things, and looking around, everybody's looking at me like I'm a spasmodic or something. And it was just so distressing. It was day and night. And so I asked a couple of friends. They didn't have a clue what to do about it. I went to my pastor, and my pastor said, "Phil, you're doing it all wrong. First of all, your mind cannot operate on a vacuum. You're trying to throw something out, and unless you replace it with something, that will get sucked right back in, just like a vacuum. Secondly, this appears to be more than simply your flesh. This is so constant, so relentless, it looks like it's demonic." And so, when you are dealing with demons, you do not have a power or authority over them except through Christ. Okay? They are far more powerful beings than you are, and you cannot get rid of them. Even Jesus, the perfect man, never said, "Get out of here." He said, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." And he used the authority of God's word to reject Satan out of his life. Thirdly, this has become a habit in your brain. It's like a pathway that has been developed. He likened it to wagon ruts. Or up in Alberta, we had these mud roads. And when vehicles had gone through, you'd get these wheel ruts from the cars, that some of them were so deep, if you got into them, you couldn't get out. You just had to keep going straight ahead until finally it got a little bit shallower and you could get out. And he said, that's the way it is with your thoughts. You've got ruts you can't get out of. They just are there. And what you need to do is, with the washing of the word, you need to wipe that away, wash that away. So he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start memorizing scripture so you have that scripture down cold. Not scripture that describes the sin, for example, the scene with Bathsheba, but scripture that's the opposite. You're putting off one, you're putting on another. And for every righteous behavior you're having a put off, always you have to replace it with something. For every sin you're putting off, you have to now practice a righteous behavior very, very, very consistently. So he said, I want you to memorize it, then I want you to meditate upon that every chance you get throughout the day when you're not actively involved in studying, you know, or doing something else. And every time that Satan tempts you, say out loud, since Satan, demons cannot read your thoughts, say out loud, "Get behind me, Satan. I am not going to think that, because God's word says, finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything, you quote that scripture. You're resisting him with a word that's very, very pointed. And he said, then you start meditating on the scriptures throughout the day. It says, meditation is like a cow chewing its cud. A cow will eat grass, put it into its first stomach. That's like memorizing the word. That's storage. Later, it'll sit under a tree. It'll burp up a ball of that grass. It's called a cud. Chew that, put it into a second stomach. When it's emptied the first stomach, it'll chew up, burp up cuds from the second stomach, chew it, put it into the third stomach. Until finally the grass is so thoroughly masticated that it's able to assimilate it into its body. And that's what you do. You go over and over and over until you're sick and tired of it, over the same scriptures. And he said there's various techniques of meditation. I'll just give you one of them. One of them is every time you say the verse, you think about and meditate on a different word. Okay? And you just try to suck the meaning of that word, the verse in light of that word, dry. What does this mean to me? And you pray it through, and you ask God to transform you and change you by the renewing of your mind with that word. So I said, great, sounds like a good idea. So I started doing that, and it just got worse. And so a week later was my next appointment. I said, doesn't work. In fact, it's gotten worse. And he said, demons will press and press to see if you're going to give up. You give up, they'll keep pressing, so that you get discouraged and don't do that anymore. Just keep at it. So I did, and I don't remember now exactly if it was 2-3 weeks later, boom, it stopped. I didn't have these constant harassments with thoughts, and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And the whole week went fairly well, and then I got lazy and decided, well, I don't need to meditate anymore and memorize scripture anymore, and they came back. And then I started meditating, and they disappeared, and then I'd get lazy and stop, and they would come back, until finally I said, well, fooey on this, I'm just going to make this a habit of life, which I did every day, meditating on the scripture. And what I found over the next year, as I'm meditating on these scriptures of purity of mind, not only was I gaining more and more victory during the day, but even at night, I'm rebuking Satan in my dreams, and my dreams are becoming more and more pure, to the point where I was not even tempted during the day or even in my dream life with these wicked thoughts. Now, the same process of putting off, putting on, using meditation can be used for anger, for fear, for so many other issues that our kids struggle with. So that's the little story that I would share with my son. I want you to find some story. It could be in self-control, humility, trustworthiness. And of course, you don't want to start off by saying, you know, I really became a humble man. You know, because that's probably pride to say we're humble, you know. But to say, you know, I really struggle and I still struggle with pride, but here's one way in which I gain victory that would be great. So for sure, if your children are with you, just take all of your children with you and you can share with each other. But if that's not the case, then two or three of you get together and we'll put this on pause while you share your story.